Yes, I think everything is up to standard, and I think we're connected everywhere. And yeah, I guess I ought to turn you up. I was doing a lot of telephone stuff here lately, calling captains on the water, so I didn't have Robert. And yes, Robert is back with me, and it's Fish and Frank in the chair, and Robert in the chair across from me, and we're getting ready to do an area fishing report. So, okay. Enough of that garbage. All right, Frank, shut up. Yeah, all right. Okay, here we go. Hey, morning, Robert.
Good morning, Frank. Or afternoon, really.
Oh, yeah, it's 1:30 already. What the heck happens to the day? I mean, walked in, sold a rod and reel to one guy, and another guy came in, and do you have that? No, we don't. Oh, wait a minute, packages came in. Okay, yeah, we got that, and another rod and reel. And
next thing you know, it's couple hours later.
Yeah, it's just a lot of...
Those are good days, though.
It's a great day.
It's when you look at the clock and go, really, 10 minutes? Seriously?
Yeah. I had one of those the other night.
Yeah.
So
wow, man.
Last night, I was at the PGI Fishing Club giving a talk, and...
Which I had a couple responses this morning that you did great.
Yeah, I thought I was pretty mediocre.
Yeah, I know, but your standards are different than other people's.
Okay, so... But then we, you and Cale did the Luigi's Fishing Club all about tarpon last night. That went real well.
Okay.
I mean.
I thought it went good.
Yeah, everybody, well.
We didn't suck. How's that?
Yeah. Robert and Cale looked at me and said, well, you don't have to come tomorrow. I just said, you know, we're fine. You don't have to be there.
No, you okay. Can be there all you
yeah,
want.
Yeah, no, 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 no. Yeah,
no, I said that last night, too.
Okay.
Not backpedaling.
We got tonight. We'll be back at Luigi's, everything about tarpon, open seating. And so that's going to be a lot of fun. And let's see. I don't know what else we got coming up. I got to go to the Englewood Fishing Club here pretty soon.
Yeah, did you check that in?
No,
I forgot to look at the calendar.
I got
to
look. It would be tomorrow night if I got to do it. I'll look at the calendar. So, you know, if it's not on the calendar, I take a chance of not being there. I can remember to look at the calendar. You don't have to write it in your hand.
But I've thought about it like 5 times today and have not stopped to look at the darn calendar to find out for sure. And I was supposed to do it the last time, so want to make sure it's all good.
Okay. So anyway, now that my social secretary has all the notes done, let's figure out where we're at. Where are we going to start this time? Let's go down south and start somewhere.
Okay. Want to start offshore?
Sure, let's do offshore.
Start offshore. Perfect. Okay, basically from the passes to up to 15, 18 miles out, you've got Spanish mackerel, mangrove snapper, some porgies, few oddball sheep's head, a lot of assorted sharks. I mean, from small guys to really big guys. Been an occasional king mackerel, but most of them are the small, what I would call like a schoolie king, you know, under 10 pounds. Few and far between, but they are there. Every reef is a little different right now out there. They're starting to get some good aggregates of larger mangrove snapper on them. This is the time of year when a lot of our bigger, basically breeding size mangrove snapper kind of start to leave the canals and the harbor a little bit and start to move offshore, and they get into these big swarms. And they will just spawn and eat and spawn and eat during the moon phases. It's pretty impressive, but it's pretty wild because they'll be on one reef super heavy, and then another reef will just be a few, and then another reef will have a lot. They seem to pick a spot that they like for a while. Mostly going to catch those guys on shrimp and small pieces of cut bait. They react real well to chum right now, and they probably will pretty much the rest of the summer. At that 20 to 35 mile range, especially like that 30 to 35 mile range, red grouper is doing incredible. And that rule did change now, so now it's only 2 red grouper instead of 4. The amberjack have been out there really good. I just had a gentleman in here a little bit ago at 35, did phenomenal on the yellowtail snapper. Some real nice ones. They had them chummed real heavy and got them right up to the back of the boat.
Critical. Need to know information.
Nice. Cute. been a lot of Goliath grouper out there too, wreaking havoc on some of these guys on some of these spots for the snapper fishing. 25 to 35 I've been hearing of the occasional chicken dolphins, and a few oddball tuna.
By chicken dolphin, he means mahi-mahi, the same as you would catch in the Keys. But for some reason, about 30, 35 miles out, we've been seeing several schools, but the guys say they're very, very small. Yeah. They're really not very big. But now, each month, those fish get bigger and bigger.
Drastically.
Drastically bigger. Same as the cobia. I mean, they get amazingly larger as they go.
Yeah, mahi is actually the fastest growing fish, I believe, in the sea.
Yeah, second only to, like, cobia.
Yeah, well, they've surpassed cobia significantly. Cobia has a lifespan of like 15 years, I believe, or 20 years, versus a mahi is only like 4, I believe. Or 5, something like that. It's very, very short-lived, but grows super quick. There's also been a couple incidental sailfish out there, so, and those sailfish have been anywhere from 3 to 30 miles out. This time of year, you got a lot of people cruising up and down the beaches looking for tarpon, and looking for cobia and looking for sharks, and you'll come across the occasional sailfish. Now, almost all the sailfish that you hear of on this side are always small. They're like literally 10 to 30 pounders. You almost never hear of like an 80 pounder over here, but get some small ones that show up. So have a pole ready with a, you know, small bucktail or something with a small hook on it that you can freeline a small bait fish out to them real quick, because they're going to show up and then they're not going to stick around very long at all. So, you know, pay real close attention to that. It's pretty cool right now. And that's going to get better and better throughout the whole summertime. You know, lots and lots and lots of stuff.
To endeavor to persevere. We thought about it.
Not good for eating, but good for looking through.
I didn't get that, but I'm going to.
Nice. That's good. I like it.
I got to clean them up a little bit.
Is that Dan George? Dan George.
Yes. Endeavoring to persevere.
Yeah, I like it.
My favorite saying of all time.
It's a good thing. That's an awesome movie, too.
I was watching it the other day. I went back up and recorded that.
Nice. So. I like it.
Anyway, I'm sorry. I just took it off my phone, so I didn't even know if it would work. So I'll like clean it up, make it work for this.
As you move in closer to the beaches, I mean, from what I'm hearing, from Sarasota all the way down to Marco Island right now, there is tarpon all up and down the beaches. The passes obviously have some better concentrations of fish, but they're anywhere from 100 yards off the beach to up to like 4 miles off the beach. The great thing about that is the water's gin clear right now. Don't be afraid to run 2 or 3 miles off the beach. You don't have to shadow some of these other boats. It seems like everyone's hanging out very close to the beach, within a quarter mile, and it's just a nightmare.
What you need, Steve? Oh. Okay.
You know, so experiment. And the water is actually very clear out there, where you can see in most instances 15 to 20 feet down. Very clear. And even at 25 feet, you'll be able to make out distinct shadows. So even if the fish aren't rolling real heavy, you'll actually see fish, just groups of shadows of fish, and you can just idle or drift up to them with thread fins or crabs.
And one of the things out there, speaking of shadows, out on the reefs, the power pole, Mary's, Helen's, some of the other ones, getting back out into the Gulf for just a second, because I forgot about that, you said shadows in the water. Permit, cobia.
Oh, yeah.
Amberjacks. You're literally, what you're looking for is kind of gray to brown shadow in the water. Just literally, you'll see almost like a light brown gray cloud move under the boat, and that's the fish you're looking for.
Permit are pretty easy too sometimes, because they shine a lot.
Yeah, I mean, when they get up close to the top, they'll shine.
I've seen them 25 feet down out there at the power pole and just see them shining. Mike,
right,
I'm looking down going, what is that shining down there? And then all of a sudden you see like 10 of them shine, and he's like, permit.
Yep.
Why don't you have any crabs? Didn't even have any shrimp that day. But
so I didn't mean to interject, but if you're going out in the Gulf right now, make sure your sunglasses, when you look through them on that look, and make sure they're not brown. They need to be gray or blue as you're looking through them. If the front mirror needs to be green is the brown color, right?
So on Costas, yes.
Yeah, so well, when you're looking through them, they cannot be the brown color. You are not going to see these fish if you've got the brown color sunglasses on. You need to have either green or blue, gray lenses, one of those colors, but not anything with brown in them as you're out in the Gulf, because you're never going to see those fish. The brown colors take out a lot of the blue hues of the spectrum. And that's what you need to see in order to be able to actually see these fish underwater in the Gulf of Mexico. Make sure you keep your brown lenses for fishing in the harbor or driving or, you know, inland fishing, freshwater, you know, lakes down here, which are always brown color. But as soon as you get out in the boat, the Gulf of Mexico, and you get that blue-green clear water, you need to have the blue, the green, or the gray, or your net, it's going to be like fishing without polarized glasses. Because it takes out just that little bit of blue, and you'll never see the fish. A weird factoid for the day.
There you go. And then also out along the beaches, you're starting to get a lot of snook moving out there. Mostly towards the passes is where your most heaviest activity is for all of your species of fish right now. Because your wintertime fish are leaving, your summertime fish are starting to show up, and then some of your summertime fish are going out there to spawn. So you're starting to get just a lot of activity of the whiting, occasional bonefish, jacks,
flounder,
a few oddball flounder, a few
oddball.
The
weird thing is the flounder's considered a winter fish, but we've actually been doing better on them in the last month. Same as the sea trout.
Mm-hmm.
This, over the last 4 weeks, better flounder fishing, better sea trout fishing than we saw in December.
Yeah.
And it doesn't make any sense.
No. Well, one thing about the trout this time of year, for some reason, a lot of them school up out along the beaches this time of year. They'll move in little groups. And I hear about it every year. I've never personally ever gotten to witness it. I have caught like two or three trout at that little patch reef out by the lighthouse on Boca Grande.
Right.
Up by First Street. I've caught trout off of that in June. Not in great numbers, but I've caught them. And it boggled my mind. But then over the years, every year I hear of, this guy got into a wad of trout, thought that they were thread fins, started messing around and realized they were all trout, and sat there and caught, you know, 18 and 20, 22-inch trout for hours. It's bizarre, and that happens up and down the whole coast, too.
Yeah, because right now, from the beach, walking anywhere from Fort Myers through Venice, you've got a shot at several different types of shark, black nose, sharp nose,
bull sharks,
lemons, bonnets. I mean, you have an amazing array of sharks. You've got a little bit of flounder, some sea trout, a couple Spanish mackerel. I haven't heard any pompano, but hearing about whiting, tarpon. And I mean, with the tarpon and everything, it's all right there.
Yeah.
And this is just walking along the beach.
Yeah, literally.
Fishing. And let's not forget, we almost forgot snook.
You don't even need to get your ankles wet.
Yeah, and the snook are there now, too.
Yep. And then at night, the bull reds have been showing up on an occasion.
Yeah. So right now, there's a little bit of almost anything walking along the beach. And pick out your favorite lure, because there's so many different fish. If you want to throw artificials, I'm going to suggest a swim bait or a crankbait of some kind. But jigs are working good, too. And it's just whatever you like. But first thing in the morning, if you got a calm, Rapala Skitter Walk, Zero Spook, you know,
right.
Any type of topwater right along that beach first thing in the morning is crazy fun.
Yeah, that can be a blast.
Because you'll be sitting there and you'll catch a trout or a ladyfish or something, or a snook, and then next thing you know, you got a 150-pound tarpon trying to wreck everything you own.
Yeah.
It's just crazy. And they'll hit the same lures.
Absolutely.
Exactly the same stuff.
Absolutely. And then, you know, like we were saying, the concentration is best around the passes. As far as the passes go right now themselves, Little Gasparilla Pass, Boca Grande Pass, and Captiva Pass have all got good numbers of tarpon in them. Boca Grande Pass has got a pile of tarpon in them for the last 4 days. And they've been moving in and out a little bit from going in the hill to out to the pan, but they're staying right in the pass vicinity pretty good. Little Gasparilla usually has the fish kind of moving out along the beaches where they dump in, and then they boogie up the intercoastal. Captiva Pass sometimes has fish staying in it, but you're getting a constant flow of fish. Always,
Boogie down, boogie, oogie, woogie, woogie, boogie.
And then some good mangrove snapper.
You brought it up. It wasn't my fault.
You've also got a few Spanish mackerel. Now, the Spanish mackerel have been weird. Overall, there's been a
Señor, me muy loque en la cabaza. No.
Loco.
No.
Yeah, very.
Yeah.
They're coming through in little groups, it seems like. They're not coming through in major numbers. It's just like smaller schools. And the majority of them are smaller. You know, this past couple weeks, I've been hearing of a few more here and there, but they're smaller. They're on that, you know, 11 to 14-inch range. Just barely legal in some instances. So there are some of those out there to mess around with. There's obviously been quite a few sharks around. They haven't been terrifying, but they always come and go in little groups. It'll be bad for 3 or 4 days, and there'll be nothing for 5 days. And they come back in and just wreak havoc again and boogie back out. So, and that's bowls, hammers, black tips, all of the above. Up and down the intercoastal, you know, down from, you know, well, let's start up at Lemon Bay area. Lemon Bay along the intercoastal, you've got some fairly good trout at the end of some of the docks again. Still spotty, but better quality. A few flounder, some snook, incidental redfish, quite a few whiting moving through there. Obviously, the tarpon are moving up and down through there. The snook are moving very, very rapidly heading to the passes. So you may catch a pile of snook on this dock and then go back there an hour later and it's a ghost town. They are moving pretty steady. The early morning bite's been great on artificials like soft plastics or small, you know, small lip crankbaits like that. Twitch and stick has been working really good up there. The Rapala X-Wrap and obviously just the good old faithful bomber. You know, no frills, still affordable for the most part compared to every other lure out there, and still just works absolutely incredible. As you work your way down towards Placida area, Placida itself, during the daytime, mangrove snapper, an oddball, smaller, nice size black drum, you know, like in that 5 to 8 pound range, mixed variety of sharks, a few Spanish here and there, nothing super consistent on those guys. And then at night, the snook have been incredible, some larger sharks, a few tarpon, and some bigger mangrove snapper. The bigger mangrove snapper seem to get a little bit dumber at night, which is good for us. You know, bad for them, good for us. Little pinfish have been working well on those bigger mangrove snapper along with shrimp. And even the occasional small little crab has been working on. My guy the other day caught... Jesus, I thought that was somebody out there in the other room screaming for a second.
No, I just... can't find what I want. So
a guy was cleaning two 12 and a half inch mangroves that he caught, and he said they had one of them had a couple little spider crabs in it, and then the other one had these little tiny black crabs that were about the size of his thumbnail. And I showed him a fiddler crab, and he said, no, that's not it. So I'm guessing they're probably little rock crabs or mud crabs of some kind. So we've got some fiddler crabs, so it's worth taking maybe a few of those out there and trying to see if you can entice some of those snapper on them. Working your way down the intercoastal, a lot of your snook have started to move out of all the creeks back in there. There's always a few stragglers, but Catfish Creek, Wooden Creek, all through Wooden Bay, around all the main little islands, you're finding a few snook and a few redfish. Lots of assorted sharks moving through there, some bigger ones and a lot of smaller guys. The white bait has been over there, but it hasn't been super prevalent. It seems to have kind of played a disappearing act this week, so it's been a little trickier to find. The backside of Boca Grande, from basically the North End Canal entrance up to Uncle Henry's right now, been some better redfish over there underneath those bushes and out in some of that deeper grass, and been a few nicer trout. Up inside that canal system, there has been more of those little black drum that are that nice, perfect size. You know, rather than being giant, oversized, if you like to eat them, they're more in that size range, you know, 5 to 12 pounds, I'm guessing. that's been probably the most activity I've been hearing about with more consistency, because it's been a while since I've gotten a couple good reports on the backside of Boca Grande. Bull Bay, I haven't heard much. I don't know if you have, Frank.
Basically, what I've heard out of Bull Bay is redfish. You're looking for them mostly in the open areas, not quite so much under the trees unless the tide gets really, really high. But it's the same thing with the snook. The guys are working back and staying cast, severe cast away from the mangroves and casting up to the trees, throwing out a few pieces of bait. Yeah, what the heck? And, yeah, I just couldn't take it. So, you know, it just got to be too much.
Gotcha.
So, anyway, if the fish seem to be right at the drip edge of the tree, any place where you can find a trough right off the mangroves, you got a lot of fish in it. Right. And for some reason, they're not as much up under the mangroves as what you would think they would be at this time of year. Because traditionally, with the sun and the heat and everything else, they're right up underneath the mangroves.
Especially as warm as it's been with that water temperature the way it is. I mean, it's toasty.
Yeah, but...
but I think the only thing we got going for us is that the salinity's been up there, and that afternoon sea breeze has been rocking hard. So
speaking
maybe
of afternoon rocking hard sea breeze, you lost all the soffit and fish on your house last night.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it stripped the... west side of your house, just took all the soffit fascia right off, knocked a tree down across the road.
Yeah, knocked a neighbor's tree over in their yard, knocked one across the road.
That was
a good one.
Yeah, they're called microburst, downdrafts microburst. It's basically the effect of an EF1, the tornado. But it's just a mini, it's not actually a tornado, but the air coming up from so high just gets push downward very, very hard, and you get that front, that storm.
It was a trip.
Mm-hmm.
It was a trip. I guess there was like 500 people without power last night or something like that.
Oh, yeah. We had nothing last night. The power went off in here. They're calling me at the house, you know, and luckily the cell phones were still working. How do we get the shiner tanks? All the shiners are dying. The shrimp tanks died. Everything killed. And little by little, I was able to talk them through over the phone to get everything back working again.
There you go.
But, yeah, it was interesting. We had no credit card machines because...
for the first 2 hours this morning.
And we had none for the last two hours last night.
Wow.
With no internet, we had to upgrade because we got ripped off for that money on the fake credit card. So I had to upgrade to the new systems, and they all run on the internet. Old technology is not as cool. Right now, over the next 30 days, about 16,000 people will hear this broadcast for one reason or another. And right now, people are listening live on Facebook, Tumblr, Twitter, Google+, all that. New technology is very cool. We can do so many cool things with it, but it's so delicate. Any little tiny thing happens, and boom, you just shut off. You're right back into the Stone Age. Where all last night, we have hardline telephone. I always insist that our regular telephone lines are just normal telephone, not internet phone or anything else like that. And they work the whole time.
Right.
You pick up the phone, get a dial tone, dial somebody if you wanted to. You could actually get out. Old technology is not as cool, but it's way stronger, way tougher.
Way more reliable.
Way more reliable. The new stuff is all cool, like this. I mean, right now there's people listening on all these different social medias and all this different stuff, and it's actually really cool to be able to do. Which, a few years ago, I would have had to build a radio tower, get a license to do all this and broadcast, you know, under all this stuff. And now you just click a few buttons and you're in everywhere.
Yeah, it's pretty impressive.
So anyway, where were we? I got.
We're leaving out of Bull Bay and kind of working our way over out front of Turtle and Bull. And
out in front of Turtle and Bull Bay, big snook continue to rule the world. And there's a ton of sharks out in that 8 feet of water. You get out by the reef and out there, you get a lot of shark fishing out there. It's absolutely amazing right now. Then as you get out past that.
There's quite a few tarpon there too.
That's what I was going to get to. Okay. You got a lot of snook and stuff right against the shoreline, and then you've seemed like you've got this layer of sharks there, and then just outside of that you've got tarpon.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, this is my spot, this is your spot, okay, now you can have this spot.
Yeah, it's been pretty wild.
The tarpon have been going from on the hill up there and coming around over Jug Creek Shoals, coming out in front of Bull Bay, Turtle Bay, kind of just circling that whole area in through there. The vast, bigger concentrations are definitely up on the hill right inside of the intercoastal and before Jug Creek and all that. but it seems like there is a whole bunch of them that just want a little more peace and quiet and are making the circle around over to Bull Bay, Turtle Bay, and coming up through Jug Creek and making that big circle through there. If you're really interested in finding a tarpon and not wanting to deal with all the boats and the commotion and everything, go over to that area. I would say your chances are better over there because you won't have the competition.
Yeah, absolutely. It makes it a heck of a lot more enjoyable and more relaxing.
And your whole thing with using the swim baits, the bait busters and the swim baits underneath the bobber and then my new rig with it has caught on. People are, it's going nuts. And we've had people saying it's working. So it's nothing like, gee whiz, you know, we did this, said it didn't work, but this actually is a pretty cool thing. And I was explaining it to the guys yesterday, you're probably a little bit better off casting them, retrieving them, working them. But let's face it, after 25, 30, 40, 50 cast, it gets a bit old.
Well, not only that, but let's face it, to have a good tarpon rod and reel, there's no such thing as a light tarpon rod and reel. You know, there's lighter, but nothing that can withstand a long battle. You know, so you need a little bit heavier, bulkier reel, a little bit heavier, bulkier rod.
Just
and casting that
materials.
25, 30 times, it wears you out.
Much less 50 or 100 times.
Right.
And so now you can take, put a float 6 feet above your bait,
or
put the hitchhiker
in. You get frustrated because you can't catch any threadies. I don't care if it's clean water. I don't care if it's dark water. Sometimes they're faster than the cast net and just don't want the sabiki. You've got the option.
Now you just stick that bait buster under a bobber. About 5-6 foot, throw it out there, set the rod and rod holder, and let the bobber jig it. Bobber jigging for tarpon is becoming a big
thing. And the cool part is no catfish.
No.
That's been pretty awesome with that. I mean, I haven't personally gotten a catfish on it.
No.
Which is nice. Haven't been shark to death either, which is kind of nice too.
Yeah, and we're telling people to put the tiniest bit of some kind of scent on it, whether it's bait fish, a crab, it doesn't matter if it's shrimp, doesn't matter what scent you put on it, because you're not adding the scent to the bait, you're getting the human smell off more than anything. Mm-hmm. And because it's a sight activation hit, they're going to come up on it, but if they're coming up slow and it really just doesn't smell right at all, they are going to veer off. If you've got a very neutral scent or a very light scent, no matter what it is, you've got a definite, I mean, you're going to have a 30% better chance of hooking up a tarpon with it.
Absolutely.
And 30% is a big shot.
Oh yes, without a doubt. You know, and let's cruise up the west wall. West wall, snook, same thing, moving around a lot.
Keep me in track, keep me focused.
That's all good.
We're going up the west wall, you got a lot of snook and redfish over there.
Not a lot of redfish, but they are there.
No, there's actually quite a few, but it's literally hunt and search, you know.
Yeah, it's one here, two here, one here, or sit and wait. You know, if you're willing to be patient and sit and wait.
Yeah, that's not me. I'm going to move.
I'm not waiting that long for a carp.
If you don't have if you don't have a stick-it pin or electric motor on the front of your boat, just ease forward a little bit, about 20 feet, stick it down again, cast at the shoreline for a few minutes. If you don't hit anything, just come up, drift forward again, put your stick-it down. You can use the stick-it pin to get you, and you're only moving about 20-foot increments anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And so even a stick-it pin's fine for a push-pull for that far.
Yeah.
And cast for a few
minutes.
It's
not a push-pull, so you got to be careful not to pop that head off.
Yeah.
Some guys get carried away.
Yeah, if it gets down in the dirt, you want to ease the boat with it, not...
not force it along. It should
not
just
force
nice
it along.
Slide with it.
Yeah, you're not doing. You're not taking the African queen out of the jungle stream. You know
exactly.
So,
moving up and down, basically, that's kind of where it is on the entire west wall. On the flats itself, or on top of the bar itself, I guess I should say, few trout, lots of little sharks, an incidental cobia here and there, but most of them have been on the undersize area. Nothing really super to write home about on the bar this week that I've heard of. And then as you move your way up towards the Myakka, from the mouth of the Myakka all the way up to Eljo Bean, there's been sporadic tarpon, lots of assorted sizes of sharks, Oddball Cobia, Oddball Triple Tail. At El Jobin at the bridge at night, tarpon have been crazy of a sort of size, 10 to 150 pounders. A lot of different size tarpon there. The snook bite's been pretty good off the pier itself. Mangrove bite's been fluctuating from what I've been hearing from a couple guys. One night they'll catch some really nice ones, and the next night there's nothing. Same way during the day for those mangrove snapper. I'm hearing them more like 10 to 14 inches with only a few here and there. Not great numbers. But they have been getting some nice little sharks off of there. A few oddball sandbrim. I've heard of a couple croaker in the last week off of there, which is kind of cool. That's about it for the El Jobin. I haven't heard much of trout or reds or any other oddball stuff. Over at Tippecanoe and going into the Myakka Cutoff. The Myakka Cutoff's been weird. Few snook, an oddball redfish. Been a few big black drum cruising through there. And then you were saying somebody saw some sawfish probably that might have been up in there.
It's an amazing amount of sawfish this year. And they seem to be... I'm going to assume it's a spawning ritual, mm-hmm. but the guy sent in some video, and...
Is there one big one and several smaller ones with it?
Or did they I all couldn't look? Really tell. They all looked about the same size.
Okay.
But they were all in that 4 or 5 foot range, and okay. just kind of swimming around.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah.
You'll have to show me that when we get done.
I don't know if I can find it again. It was on Facebook.
Oh, okay.
I'll see if I can find it. But the one thing about it is just watching them all kind of milling and feeding in through that certain area. And I don't know at what size they get to be big enough to spawn. I have no idea.
I remember it, but I've been told it, but I don't remember it off the top of my head.
You think 4 foot's big enough? I don't think so.
I don't think so. I think it's closer to that 6 foot, 7 foot range.
Yeah, because they actually get 10, 12 foot as adults.
They're like 14.
Yeah, they're huge, huge creatures.
Yeah. But they put off some kind of pheromone. That's why I was asking about if there were smaller ones with them, because I was Greg Palakis, who's like the sawfish guru around here.
Right.
He was telling me about the sawfish that they used to have down in there at the... Key West Aquarium, and that is an open water aquarium. You know, they've got a big, basically gates that are letting in water right in there out of Key West Harbor there. And he said every year that 14 footer that they had there would just, you know, minding its own business, but out of nowhere, over the course of several days, there would be a dozen or better 6 to 8, 10 foot males trying to get in to the aquarium. They'd just be stacked out in front of that, milling around and trying to get into the cage. So they must, when they ovulate or go into heat, basically exude some kind of pheromone. And I don't know
makes
if anyone's
sense.
Ever studied it, but that's the only thing that would make sense to me.
So many other creatures do it. It would make shark sense that a shark would, just to be able to find mates.
Right.
Because they don't travel in packs.
Right.
So, you know, they probably, once a year when they get ready to spawn, or, okay, I'm ready for, you know, the whole boy-girl thing, let's, you know, okay, here's the smell.
Right. So, it was kind of neat to hear. So, I mean, I'm kind of curious to know what you see out here. That's the main reason why I was asking that. pardon me. As you move out of the Myakka Cutoff and move around, heading over towards the Port Charlotte canals and the Port Charlotte beach area, little slow up inside the canals. Mainly the mouths of the canals are doing the most activity, unless you're looking for snook under the lights at night. You know, there's been quite a few of those up in there, but nothing to super write home about. Mangrove snapper, oddball black drum, oddball redfish, even a couple incidental whiting I've heard about, which is kind of cool. Because you don't hardly ever hear guys catching whiting in the canal systems.
No, and that's weird.
Yeah. I mean, you hear about it every now and then, but just not very often. It's weird. I don't get it.
Yeah, and it's like this area is loaded with sandbrim, but almost nobody catches them.
Yeah, exactly.
And, I mean, a lot of guys base their whole livelihood at commercial fishing on their sandbrim catch.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, they sell it and they can make good money on sandbrim, but yet it's never a recreational catch.
Yeah. It's always just like, wow, hey, look what I caught. You know, weird. There are still a lot of juvenile tarpon and sub-adult tarpon up inside Spring Lake and Edgewater Lake. A little tricky to catch, can be frustrating, but they are up inside there. Grassy Point's even had a few, so you know, if you're around and you're in that area, it's worth taking a look at. Some of the fly guys have been going in there because it's usually a little quieter and a little less wind sometimes, so it can be fairly productive.
If I was going to fly fish for tarpon, I'd be up in East Spring Lake or Edgewater Lake or maybe back in one of the out basins in PGI.
Right.
There's no way I want to fly fish unless it's a very, very calm day on the beach where I can see them, and that way I know I'm frustrated because they won't eat the damn fly.
Danny hooked two today on a fly.
Really?
Yeah. I was talking to him earlier, and he's, well, his customer had hooked two. They were fighting one when I was talking to him. He said the water's so clear out there right now, he watched the fish take it in like 15 feet of water. Just took it. Watch him take the fly the whole 9 yards.
Wow.
So, how cool is that?
Yeah.
But he said it is really, really hard out there. That's the other thing. You know, fishing up here in these little basins and stuff, the water's a little darker, so the fish aren't as spooky. He said all those fish out there, and the water's so clear out there right now, that whether you're throwing live bait or artificials, he said those fish are very leery of everything that's going on around them right now. So he said it's the fishing's good.
I was telling the guys, most all of them are downsizing the leader, not flatten the barb down, roll the barb, the point of the barb down. Don't flatten it, don't crush it anymore than you have to, but roll it as much as possible and go down to the lighter leader just to get the hookups. And the chance of landing the fish with that 40-pound, 50-pound test fluorocarbon are much less likely to do unless you get a perfect hook set up. But that, knowing that's the case, you want the hook to be able to fall out and never break a... unless the shark is chasing your fish, never break the leader off. You don't ever want to leave a hook in the fish because of blood poisoning, and it corrodes and it causes lots of complications. And not only that, but you take a very good chance at breaking the jaw of the fish, breaking that leader off.
Yeah.
So, but when you're using the very light leader, just trying to get hooked up, as long as you roll that barb point down so that the hook can actually just fall out after a little while, then, you know, it's not that bad a thing. But we want the hooks to be able to fall out, and if it has a barb on it, it is not going to fall out.
No, not at all. Moving out of the Port Charlotte canals and working our way up towards the 41 bridges. The early morning bite right there all along Bay Shore up to the bridge. There's been a pretty decent morning bite for the whiting, a few oddball silver trout, oddball sharks of different species. I mean, literally all sorts. And then around the 41 bridge, been a lot of snook the last two mornings right before sunrise and right at sunrise. Been a lot of snook and a lot of tarpon going off down there. And I'm sure they're doing it at night, but the pattern's been no pattern. You either need to be prepared to sit down there all night long and wait for that chew to happen for the tarpon. I mean, there's a lot of tarpon there at the bridge right now, but the bite might happen from 9 to 11 or from 3 to 5 in the morning. You never know. So it's just a matter of how diehard you really are and determined you are to want to catch one of those.
How much you don't mind taking a nap on the boat.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the tough part. You know, you keep your trolling motor, keep going up and down the bridge. And I've done it with customers, and two guys in the back of the boat, and they're sitting there and they're getting tired. I'm like, guys, I can see fish rolling up here. You need to get up. You need to really start doing this. And at that moment, I was running the trolling motor in my right hand. I had my toes. I was standing right on the edge of the boat, basically my toes hanging over the edge. And all of a sudden, must have bumped a sleeping tarpon, because they'll just kind of lay there in the water when they sleep.
Yeah.
And it came shooting straight up next to the boat. I mean, skyrocketed right up in front of me, and it was literally about 10 inches in front of my nose. And all I could think of to do, I had the trolling motor on my right, I took my left hand and just pushed straight out, palm out, just straight my arm out, and knocked the fish over sideways back into the water. And those guys are sitting in the back, their eyes are like saucers. They're both, you know, gripping the edge. And I said, see, guys, I told you there was fish here.
You know? Yep.
They're just looking at me because, I mean, all of a sudden, out of nowhere, here's a 6-foot fish.
Yeah. It's but scary like that. That's especially at night.
You know, and if you're going to do night fishing down there, the number one most important thing to have after your rod and reel is a big hat, because you're staying out in the bright lights, and the bridge all have bright lights on, whether you're on the Cape Coral Bridge, the Elgin Bridge, the 41 bridges, the Gilchrist bridges here, or the Skyway bridges or whatever. You're in the light casting into complete darkness.
Right.
And if your eyes are adjusted to the light, you can't see under the bridge to where the pilings are or if the fish are rolling. So get the hat with the biggest bill you can possibly get on it. You know, old cowboy hats are great, bull rider style, that come down and keep the eyes, the light from the bridges out of your eyes. And you will catch a lot more fish because you'll actually be able to see what you're doing. Yeah. But people forget that because it's a night out. What do you need a hat for? Well, you got to get your eyes accustomed to the dark.
Block the glare of those lights.
Yep.
Works great.
So anyway, going up to Peace River, we got a little bit of black drum on I-75, a couple of snook maybe, but nothing serious, a lot of catfish.
Yeah.
Going up the river, there's not much up there I've heard of.
No. It's one of those places that for the probably the next 2 months is going to be very hit or miss.
Unless it starts to rain a little bit more.
Unless it starts to rain more, but even then it's weird because it's like you get those little bursts of fresh water that push down, and it'll start to empty out some of those cichlids and tilapia and crabs and crayfish, and all sorts of critters just start to get displaced. But you really want to watch your water levels on the river itself. You know, I mean, well, you've got it listed right there.
Right,
you
want to
kind of look for those big spikes.
Yeah, on the Peace River, we had a little bit of a bump. It went up to almost a foot, and went up to about a foot and a half, but now it's back down to about 1.3 feet up in Arcadia, which means there's really no water coming down the river.
Right,
it's pretty much no flow coming at us, and kind of unexpected. I would have expected a little bit more because we had a lot of rain come through in the last few days and weeks up north of us. Maybe it just hasn't hit there yet.
Yeah, that rain that came through in the past 3 days, a lot of those storms have actually been coming kind of south, working their way northwest, you know, coming from the southeast to the northwest, so just below basically, you know, the Arcadia area. So that might be why we're not seeing some of those spikes. I'll bet you if you looked at the Caloosahatchee, you might see a pretty severe spike on some of that stuff.
Well, what's amazing right now is the temperatures in the Gulf are evening out. Key West is at 83.8, Naples at 82, St. Pete at 84.6.
Wow.
So everything is within 2 degrees of each other.
Yeah.
And Pensacola is at 81. So the Gulf is kind of leveling out. I mean, all the way from the Keys up to Pensacola, you're really only talking about a couple of degree variance.
Yeah, not much at all.
So that's going to make the Kings mill around more, go and looking for areas where there's more food. They're going to abandon looking for the cooler water temperatures and start milling up and down the shore, which has been the case for the last few years.
Right.
And years ago, there was such a dramatic difference between our water temperature and the Panhandle that all summer they would just go to the Panhandle. But now, like I say, there's only 3 degree difference.
Yeah, so it's not enough to make a huge difference with those fish.
No, with 3 degrees. So
kind of silly.
We're going to see Kings migrating back south, following food patterns.
Right,
and it's from now until we start getting our cool spells in the fall. When you're in the Gulf, look for pods of bait, glass minnows, stuff like that, because that's where the fish are going to be following. Because with this even temperatures going up and down, there's no reason for them to go to one area to the other.
Absolutely. Moving out of the river, going down towards the Punta Gorda side, Lashley Park's been hit or miss during the daytime. I'm hearing of a few whiting, oddball trout, oddball little Spanish, and an oddball shark. Nighttime, though, I'm hearing of a few more mangrove snapper here and there, oddball black drum, some tarp, juvenile tarpon right there around the shadow line and towards the power lines, and some snook, but nothing super exciting. There has been some jacks coming through, which has been good.
Now,
but they've just got
over
two
by
speeds.
Bayshore, they're still doing a little bit of tarpon, a little bit of sharks.
Uh-huh.
Oddball, as you would say, or very intermittent cobia bite, but I would say the Bayshore piers are probably the better big fish piers right now. But after dark, if you get on Lashley and cast as far off the end of it as you can, straight out, you've got a good shot at a tarpon. But take about half-pound, quarter-pound chunk of mullet or ladyfish and zing it way out there.
You gotta get such a big piece?
I don't know. It just usually is what seems to work.
Personally, for me, I like to use it like that just to keep the catfish from beating me up so bad.
Well, they'll move it around, and I think that helps attract the attention of the bigger fish.
But it keeps them from really actually swallowing it and doing those drive-bys where they actually run like 20 feet with it and have to spit it out. You know, they'll kind of mill with it and bump it and stuff, but if it's a smaller piece, I just have that, they run with it 10 feet and then drop it.
Yeah.
I can't do anything with it, you know, and that gets frustrating. So I like that little bigger chunk like you're talking about. Going over to the PGI canals themselves, the mouths of the canals have been really pretty good. Mangrove snapper, black drum, not a lot of ladyfish, but better numbers of ladyfish because a lot of guys are kind of looking for them for both shark bait and tarpon bait. Been on quite a few jacks coming and going through there. A lot of juvenile tarpon, like you talked about, in all of those little dead end basins and yacht basins. Really good on those. And then the snook on all the lights have been pretty good. It's amazing how many snook have left out of there. I mean, you don't have a lot of the large snook that was hearing about a month ago.
Right.
But I'm still hearing of a lot of those little juvies, you know, the
anything from
18
about
to 24
or 26.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hearing a lot of those. So, I mean, if you're looking for numbers and just want to have a good time and you're kind of an eye
like
owl,
all young males, basically lazy. Okay, if it's here, I'm going to do it. But I don't really think I'm going to go all the way out there for it.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's kind of cool, though. So, I mean, you got a good mixed gamut of stuff over there.
Did we do the east side?
We haven't gotten there yet. We're working our way down.
Okay.
We went down Lemon Bay and swinging around and working our way down that way.
We got to quit that because it gets too confusing for me. I know the other way. I know my patterns.
You wanted to start backwards.
Yeah, I know.
It's your fault. You're the one that likes to take always. No, it's not. But you are the one that always likes to take the scenic route and change directions.
Yeah, I know.
So that is your
fault.
I
can't drive I-75 to 4 to 95 to get to Jacksonville. I got to go 17 to 33 to 19
to 445. But that's today. Tomorrow you'll take a totally different scenic route.
Yeah, I know.
It's cool because you get to see a lot of really cool stuff, but man, is it confusing.
Kind of sums up my life, doesn't it?
True. Tom Frank. Oh, crap.
Yeah. Nobody wants to do that. They said, where are you going to be? Okay, we'll meet you there. All right. Anyway, going down the east side.
Yeah, definitely.
We got to
speed it up.
Yeah, we got to wrap this up. From what I'm hearing out by the bar and between the old Cormoran Key, Carmen Key, and the sandbar, about halfway in between, there's a lot of deep pockets of sand holes there. And they're more like grass holes because there's no open sand and closed. It's just more depression areas. If you've got some pinfish, it's a great place to get some nice redfish or nice snook. And it depends on which one has moved in at the time.
Right.
Getting back up by the mangroves, you got a lot of snook underneath by the mangroves, a few redfish, a little bit of trout out by the bar. Outside the bar, things start to change a little bit.
A whole lot. You know, you go from the outside bar, and we'll encompass this all the way out to the 20-foot holes because we haven't covered that either.
Right.
The shark fishing out there on the little sharks and some of the bigger sharks is really bizarre. They've gotten really concentrated into little groups. You'll catch, you know, a whole bunch of little sharks right here just in that 5 feet of water off the bar or out in the 20-foot hole. But, I mean, if you move an eighth of a mile either direction, it's a ghost town for the sharks. They're really, really nutted up tight. It's kind of weird. Kind of cool in a way. Once you find them, you're just going to have a field day, but you might have to move three or four times before you finally find them. Exactly. And then there's also been tarpon cruising along the bar all the way out into the 20-foot holes. Even on the edges of the 20-foot holes and around the Alligator Creek Reef. So, I mean, kind of a mixed gamut of stuff. Spanish mackerel have been around. Most of them are on the smaller side. Been a few triple tail around the Alligator Creek Reef that I've heard about the last couple days. The cobia, obviously, are there, but most of them are a little bit on the smaller side. Couple cool things have happened out there in those holes. And with those sharks, like we're talking about, some of these tarpon are actually sitting out there in little groups, you know, of let's say 10 to 50 fish, surrounding them as little black tips, you know, 2 to 4 footers. And they're swimming around the complete perimeter of it.
I wonder what's up with that. Maybe they want to go in and get a bite, but they're just afraid of those big fish.
I think they're actually kind of doing a symbiotic thing like a remora. I think they're waiting for those tarpon to actually spook out some of that bait, and they're picking up the stuff that's getting spooked out to the side. Because Robert said it, and then Cale said it. You cast a bait right into the middle of the tarpon, it's a hookup almost instantly on a tarpon. But if you miscast 5 feet one side or the other of those fish, it's an instant black tip. Instantly. You know, wow. They're just sitting there waiting and kind of milling around. But here's another cool thing that our other Steve was telling me. He was out, I think it was Sunday.
Right.
And catching Atlantic sharpnose. He goes, it was the damnedest thing. They were jumping. I'm like, no, you were catching black tips. He's, no, they're Atlantic sharpnose. They have bleach spots or no bleach spots? He said, they have the bleach spots. They were jumping. I said, what was chasing them? He says, it's funny you say that because that's what I thought, because I don't know. I'd never seen them jump before, but then all of a sudden, I'd get a hard hit and I would just reel in ahead. He had it happen to him several times that day.
So something monstrous.
The bull sharks were in there chasing. That's the only real mate. Well, and a lemon shark too.
Hammerhead
too, but realistically, yeah, I'm gonna go with the bull or a lemon before, yeah, I go with the hammer. Taking them off right behind the head. You know, these 30 to 36 inch sharp nose getting cut and,
yeah,
literally behind the head. So he said it was utterly amazing. I'm like, you got to see something that I've never gotten to witness, or a lot of people. You're the first person I've ever heard of that tell me a sharp nose jumping. So black tip, no problem. So kind of cool. So keep your eyes open for a lot of really interesting stuff. I also had a couple of reports from last week of some hammerheads being seen in the harbor of smaller size, but the big, big ones coming in. 12, 13s, 11s, hearing of them as far up as marker 1. It's just reinforcing my theory over the years that they actually do come into the harbor to spawn. I mean, May is truly the month of pups for all of your large sharks and even your smaller sharks.
Well, the babies have much better chance of survival in here than they would the Gulf.
Yeah, because they can swim up onto the flats. Plus, there's a larger food source up in here that's more accommodating for them.
And it's another reason to get rid of the commercial shrimping here, because those small sharks will eat shrimp, they'll eat squid, they'll eat crabs, fish, they'll eat anything. Yeah. And having a better food source, which does not mean letting, you know, 15 commercial shrimpers take 1,000 pounds of stuff and throw it dead into the harbor.
Yeah, exactly.
So
So a lot of good stuff happening out in the center of the harbor, you know, and it's kind of the same scenario down the entire harbor east side thing. You know, that's just all alive right now. And a lot of it has to do with, you know, we talk about it every year, that water flow that comes in from Boca Grande Pass and comes up that east side and then eddies right there around the, you know, Mangrove Point and Marker 1 and all that stuff. So it changes things up a little bit. So it's really a good, just a killer time to go out and play and fish right now.
Yeah, I mean, I get pictures all the time. One person sends a shark, another one's got a tarpon, another one's got a snook, somebody's got a redfish, somebody's got, you know, and there's so many different fish hitting right now.
Yeah.
Now, is the fishing spectacular? Probably not, but it's really darn good.
Yeah, it's way above average.
And the thing is, you've got to avoid the, I'm going to go fishing for this.
Yes.
And so many of the captains I've talked to have gone out and they've been on a good bite with tarpon and jumped one or two or caught one or two, but then it just dies off. Well, then they go and they're fishing for Goliath grouper, or they're doing sharks, or they're doing snook, or they're doing redfish. And
the smarter ones are, because they actually bring more than one type of fishing pole.
Right. And so many of these guys, and that's been the common theme over the last week or so of talking to people on the water radio fishing, has been, okay, let's do this. All right, well, we did that and it's worked out, but now it's slowed down. Let's go play with this.
Yeah.
and Mike Myers taking guys out. They're doing tarpon along the beach, and when that slows down, they shoot right out, and they're catching permit and all these amazing fish right on the nearshore reefs.
Yeah.
And then they can come back and hit a little bit of tarpon again and call it a day.
Yeah.
So the diversity of fishing, but it's up to you to understand that when something's not working, don't just keep thrashing at it. Go do something else for a little while and come back.
Yeah.
You know, it's...
There's so many different things to choose from right now. You don't have to pigeonhole yourself to one thing.
So, yeah I'm going to say that. And I think we've about covered everything that I think we can cover today. What do you think? Yes.
Very good job, Frank.
No, I suck today, but I don't mind thinking that it was okay. But...
go out and have fun and... take everything with you. It's awesome right now, and the water clarity is so beautiful right now. You got another few weeks of this. Take advantage of it. It's an awesome, awesome time of year.
The water's clear, the weather's gorgeous, the fish are biting.
It's one of those things where it's like it's a blessing that we're busy, but it's frustrating as all heck, because I would literally love to put myself literally broke in credit card debt if I could do it and go out, you know, 3 or 4 days a week just to go out and look, because it's just so cool right now. Never mind catching the fish, just seeing the stuff.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
But this is Fish and Frank in the chair, slave driving Robert to maintain our business.
No. You and I need to get out. Where's the boat? I know.
The boat's still in the storage yard. I'm going to go. I'm probably
You're procrastinating. We're going to have to wait until next May to go see this?
just
what you wanted.
Just trying to happy the heck up.
I know.
That's all.
It's all good.
You know, we've got a great business. Everything's going well. You know, outside of an IRS audit or two, and you know, just other little things happening. You know, and the daughter issue and health and all this other kind of stuff. You know, I just got to learn to happy up a little bit. You know, life is pretty good. So that being said, I guess we're gonna call an end to this. Radio fishing, and I think we're gonna let Bobby take us out of this. Thank you very much for listening, guys. We really appreciate it, and keep listening. We appreciate it, and we're gonna be doing several more on the water reports. We have a new phone coming that should take care of all of our phone problems. I'm going back to landline on the radio fishing, so we'll be able to hook up to more captains, get more reports for you. Biggest issue right now is technology not working on keeping up the show. So we will see you on the next Radio Fishing. Thanks for listening, guys.
This morning before the sun, grab my gear to get some fishing done. Jump in my pickup, give her a crank. I gotta talk with Fishing Frank. Fishing Frank is the guy who knows where the redfish and the tarpon go. From your boat or from the bank, the man to see is Fishing Frank. 'Cause he's got the tackle and the know-how too, and more than willing to share with you. The guys with the most fish in their tanks have surely been to Fishing Frank's. You gotta go to Fishing Frank's. The one who knows is Fishing Frank.